Psalm 116, verse number 15, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the day, and we thank You, Father, for Your blessings upon us. Lord, we thank You for Your people that You've convicted, that You've touched us and stirred us, Father, to be desirous to come and meet together with Your people, with brothers and sisters in Christ who You place us together with in this church to worship You this day. And we pray, Father, that You'd help us that we might worship You. We thank You for everything in the affairs of the church this morning and the Sunday school classes and the teachers, Your word that's been brought forth, the singing of praises to Your name, Lord, praying unto You and petitioning You. Lord, we pray that and trust that all that has been pleasing unto You. And we pray, Father, now for the preaching of Your word, Lord, that it might be a lifting up of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and Lord, that You might be extolled and magnified and glorified in all things. And Lord, we thank You for saving us and making us Your own, Lord, taking us from being estranged and alien from You, and Lord, saving our souls and drawing us nigh unto You. Lord, we praise Your name for that. And we pray, Father, that You would help us now with Your word, that You just might, we might praise Your name, and Lord, You might feed us with Your word. I pray, Father, for those who are here this morning and not saved, Lord, that You would touch them and save them. Lord, work in them as You only can. Use us, Lord, to be a good witness to them and a good representation of Your word, and Lord, a good witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we pray that You just might save. Be with those who are unable to be with us for whatever reason. Lord, You know the reasons. We pray You might work in at a right good thing. And Lord, for those that need healing, Lord, that You might help and heal and raise them up. Help now, we pray, Father. We need You, and I need You. Lord, use me and speak through me. Lord, take me out of the way. And Lord, help us so we just might see the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask it all in the Lord Jesus Christ's name and for His sake. Amen. Here, a familiar passage. The psalmist declares, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. We consider this word precious, and is considering that word, you know, how do you define the word precious? In the Old Testament, the definitions are there, brightness, clear, costly, excellent, fat, honorable, precious, a reputation. I thought about this and considered about that word precious. How is it that you describe precious? Many of you ladies, ladies that are married, you're wearing a wedding ring or an engagement ring possibly, and it's got, as we refer to them, maybe it's got some precious stones on it. There's value that's there. But the thing is more than likely that ring that you're wearing is precious to you, not because of the stones, but because of what it symbolizes. Okay, it is precious to you. Our children, our grandchildren are very precious to us, aren't they? Whether you can't put a value on your family, on your children, on your grandchildren, on your spouse. The things in the world are precious. When you have something precious, you don't take it and throw it around, do you? No, but you guard it. You take care of it. It's of great value to you, whether it's of worth or sentimental or both or whatever. Precious, understand about that. In the New Testament, the definition for the word precious is the same. It's very much in line with this Old Testament definition and usage. And considering about this word precious. Look here at something in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Look at this. Look what it says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 as we take a look about this word precious. 1 Corinthians 3, this is relative to our spiritual life. This is relative to the minister of God and the work in the church, it seems. I think we can take this and without doing any injustice to the scripture, apply it both ways. And look here in verse number 12, 1 Corinthians 3, verse 12. I trust this is familiar unto you. Verse number 12, now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones. We know what that's talking about, don't we? It's not talking about coal, is it? Coal's not too precious. I mean, we need it for heat and need for electricity. But not likely, you ladies don't have any jewelry made out of coal. We're not talking about limestone, are we? It comes in great numerous quantities. But if you're talking about a topaz or an emerald or a pearl or a diamond or something like that, those are precious in that they have great value. And so we're called to build upon the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ with good building material. It goes on to say here that wood, hay, and stubble is something that we can build with, but that's going to be burned up, isn't it? Yeah, it will be. And wood, hay, and stubble, if you're cold in the winter and you burn wood, wood might get precious to you, but it doesn't have any sentimental value, does it? No, there's no connection there that touches you. And so we see about that. In Revelation chapter 21, and relative to these precious stones, I find it interesting here how it's used, and all the economy of the Lord is so much different than the way that we think. The New Jerusalem, do you remember how big it's going to be? 1,200 to 1,500 miles that way, 1,200 to 1,500 miles that way, and the thing that really gets me is 1,200 to 1,500 miles that way. The sphere of the earth, 8,000 miles across in diameter, if the Lord builds her the same, the new heaven, the new earth is the same as this earth, about 8,000 miles in diameter, and you've got this 1,500-mile, 1,200-mile square city over here on the side. You know, physics don't mess up the Lord, okay? They don't hurt the Lord. He can make the physics work on that. If you think about the orbit of the earth and all those things and the spinning of the earth, it won't get the Lord out of whack at all. In Revelation chapter 21, verse number 19, look here about that city and consider how big it is. And what's it say? And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. How far? 12 to 1,500 miles worth. That way and that way. Garnished with them. The Lord is using them for decoration of the foundation. And men and women in this world just scramble and clamor and claw for the precious stones. There's nothing wrong with the stones. God's created them. And that, but I just find it interesting how it is. The foundation of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. And the first foundation was jasper, and the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, and the fourth emerald, and so on. Very valuable on this earth. Folks get dedicating their life to the mining, to the collection, to the working, to the fashioning of these stones. God's going to use them for pavement, and they're in the mortar, and for decoration. Isn't that something? Going to take gold and use it for street. What a wonder. Our God is such a great God. And so as we consider about this word precious, we're looking at something that's of a great value, isn't it? Great, great value. Not lightly esteemed, but something that is precious. It's near and dear. It's of value, and it's near and dear unto your heart, if you will. As we go on and consider in this passage, precious in the sight of the Lord. There in Psalm 116, verse 15, you see the Lord there is capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. If I understand that right, that's talking about the Hebrew translation of that word is Jehovah. And that's talking about God Almighty, the Trinity, the great three in one, the great self-existent one. Remember how the Lord revealed himself unto Moses in the day there in the desert and in Exodus chapter 3. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am, the great I am. Precious in the sight of God Almighty, the Trinity, the great three in one. It's precious in his sight is the death. I think we understand about that word death, don't we? We are so surrounded with death. When we're born to die. It's that way. Our society has taken death and prettied it up a bunch, but these old bodies die, don't they? They're going to die. Maybe they die soon. Maybe the Lord blesses you with 70 or 80 years. Maybe more. Maybe less. Maybe some die young. But these bodies are going to die. Barring the coming back of the Lord Jesus Christ and the clouds for his people. Amen? These bodies are going to die. And so it's the scripture says that it's precious in the sight of the Lord is the death, okay? And that word death there is that dying. That's talking about the physical dying. Okay, it's not talking about eternal damnation in hell or Gehenna, the place of burning. It's talking about the death of the body, the burial of the body. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the dying of the body, if you will, of His saints. His saints. And we consider this world, this word saints, a religious world today. Some of the religious so-called world today thinks that there's some kind of procedure that has to be gone through to declare somebody a saint. We've got to meet some qualifications, got to work some miracles, have to have some great works attributed to them. But we know the Scripture doesn't bear that out at all, does it? The children of God, those that the Lord saves, those that the Lord calls, are His saints presently. Amen. We're saints now. I'm a saint of God right now. I don't have to wait. I don't have to wait till I die and you all figure out some miracle that I did and or however many miracles it takes, the way some work. I don't have to do it. I'm a saint now because I'm a child of God. You're here and saved. You're a saint of God. And so precious, but of great value to the Lord, a great touching, if you will, of the heart of God is the death. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. And that's the only ones that are saints are those that are His. Well, this morning, with the Lord's help and blessing, I want to consider why is the death of one of the Lord's saints precious in His sight? Why is it precious? Why is it? Why is it that the Lord looks on at this dying of one of His children, the physical death of one of His children, and considers that to be precious? Why is that? Why, in and of ourselves, we consider about that when there's death about, humanly speaking, we mourn, don't we? I was talking to somebody here recently how it is with death that really, for the child of God that goes on to be with the Lord, our mourning is really for ourselves. We miss them because we love them. We care for them. We want them to be, we want us to enjoy that fellowship that we have with those that are near and dear and to us. We love them. And so in that, we mourn for ourselves. Now, one that dies without the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, the grief there is great, isn't it? I mean, we can't change it. But the thought of our loved one or friend or co-worker or neighbor going off into eternity without the Lord as Savior, that is a great grief because they are in hell. They're in hell. I've got family that's in hell. I know they're in hell by their own testimony. I mean, all I know is what they said and the way that they lived. I wish it wasn't so, but there's no changing it. They lived this life. The gospel was presented unto them, and they sought their own way. And having died without the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, they're in that place of burning now. But the death, the dying of the body, being precious to the Lord, it is precious. And for one that is a saint, you know, we can understand that somewhat. But why is it that it's precious in the sight of the Lord? Well, the first thing that I want to submit unto you is because of the value of the soul. The value of the soul. The Lord Jesus Christ, God Almighty in His creation, He's made us different than any other creature that's been made, right? We're not like the animals. We are similar to the angels, but we're not like them either. Okay? And so I want to remind us, and let's be reminded in Genesis chapter 1. Take a look over here. In Genesis chapter 1, understand this, just few words that are mentioned here, but a great, great thing that the Lord has done in creating mankind. A great, wondrous thing in doing so. In Genesis chapter 1, verse number 26, the Scripture says, "And God said, let us make man in our image." No other. No other did He say that He was going to do that for or with. "Let's make God in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. In chapter 2, in verse number 7, the scripture goes on to say, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." It's not that way with the animals. And although the angels have an eternal existence, in the way that they're created, in the station, in the lot, in the place that God has created them in, their life and their existence is totally different than ours. And God's made a great distinction in creating mankind. He's created us to dominate, have dominion upon the earth and the creation of His hands as He dominates, but to be unto His glory and to His honor. And being made in the image and likeness of God, we bear in us, in our very existence and in our physical likeness and the way that we are, our form, we bear in us some of the glory of God. The way He is, when God is manifested physically, so are we. We're made like unto Him. We're not gods. We're mankind. But when the Lord appears, this is the way that He looks in general form. And so, the Lord has bestowed that upon us. And it says here in Genesis 2 that man became a living soul. A soul. A soul created to live eternally. You, if you can hear my voice this morning, and you're sitting there and you can see me with your eyes, and we don't have anybody here that's deaf, we don't have anybody here that's blind, you are an eternal soul. You will live eternally somewhere forever. It's a great distinction. Who also lives forever? God. God lives forever. He's bestowed that upon us. And that He's made man a living soul. He formed man of the dust of the ground, unlike any other creature that He created. All the rest He spoke into existence, the Scripture bears out. But with us, He created and formed us out of the dust, formed our federal head Adam out of the dust, and breathed in his nostrils the breath of life. A distinction that's there. And man became a living soul. Look here in Luke chapter 3. Consider this as Brother Luke writes, and the Lord moving him to do so. I find here in the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ an interesting statement that is made that can be said of no other creation or creature of God. In Luke chapter 3, verse number 38, which was the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, giving the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ all the way back to the beginning, which was the son of Adam, which was the son of God. I didn't write that. The Lord did. Adam gave, or the Lord gave Adam life and created him special. Him and his wife. He made them. He created them. He gave them life in His image and His likeness. He created them. Male and female created He them. Breathed into Adam's nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. God's Son. God's Son. The soul is special, isn't it? Now I understand the Scripture says that we are certainly defiled. All of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And we've become a most spoiled thing because of sin before the Lord. But understand the gift of life, the creation of the soul, is a very special thing before God. Why is the death of one of the Lord's saints precious in His sight? Is because of the value of the soul. In Ezekiel chapter 18, take a look here. Look what the Lord's opinion is about souls that die without Him. Souls that die without Him. You know, we know that the message here is certainly to Israel. I mean, the book of Ezekiel is written to the nation of Israel. But there are a principle and there is understanding we can have about the position and the thinking of the Lord. Does not the New Testament scriptures that all of Israel, or all that claim to be Israel, were not Israel? We're talking about the Israel of faith. Right. So amongst Israel, the Word of God is going to His nation as a whole. But in that nation, there are those who are saved and those who are not saved. There are those who will be saved. And there are those who are saved presently at the time the Scripture comes. And so this plea or this cry of the Lord unto the nation here goes to His nation. And in their midst, there are those that are saved and there are those that are not saved. There are those that believe and those that do not. In Ezekiel chapter 18, verse number 32, listen what the Lord says. Verse 31, let's back up to there. Ezekiel 18, verse 31. Cast away from you all your transgressions, whereby ye have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth. Yes, God will mete out vengeance. But God is not sinister, as men are sinister. God is not cruel. But He metes out justice and judgment according to the measure that is required and needed. But He has no pleasure in that. He has no thrill in that. Why? Because in creating the soul, and I know about the providence and work of God, I understand about that, but the value of the soul is of great value. And the Lord looks on at those who are not saved, who are not His, that He will utterly destroy in the lake of fire forever. And the Lord says it is a great waste. But nevertheless, it's what it is.
Right.
Now, He's created it for such. And we understand those things. But then He says, I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord God. Wherefore, turn yourselves and live ye. Work salvation? No. Our situation is so bad, it takes the moving of the Spirit of God. But what a waste of life for sinners to live, hear the gospel, and then die in their trespasses and sins and go out into eternity to be destroyed forever. See, we're here in the place of time, brothers and sisters. We're here, sinner, without the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're here under the hearing of my voice, now is the time that you have been given life. Will you hear the word of the Lord? The soul is valuable unto the Lord. He's created the soul differently than any other. In Ezekiel chapter 33, take a look over here. Ezekiel chapter 33, these are the words of the Lord. In Ezekiel chapter 33, verse number 11, the Scripture says, say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked, if I have pleasure in anything, it's in this, that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? The soul is valuable to the Lord. The soul is of great value. It goes on and says in Jeremiah chapter 3. Take a look over here. Jeremiah chapter 3. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse number 12. Jeremiah 3, verse number 12. Go and proclaim these words towards the north and say, return thou, backsliding Israel, saith the Lord, and I will not cause my anger to fall upon you, for I am merciful, saith the Lord. I will not keep anger forever. Only acknowledge thine iniquity. Well, what's that saying? Repent. Is that not the universal message of the Lord? Repent. Repent. Be reconciled to God. Sinner without Christ, be reconciled unto God through repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He can reconcile you. Child of God that's caught up in sin and disobedient to the Lord, repent and be reconciled to the Lord. That's what the Lord always says. Repent. Repent. There's blessing and help in repentance. Only acknowledge thine iniquity that thou hast transgressed, verse 13, against the Lord thy God, because that's where sin is directed. It's a sin against God. It's transgressing against what God has said. And has scattered thy ways to the strangers under every green tree, and have not obeyed my voice, saith the Lord. That's the whole thing. Is a disobedience of what God has said. That is sin. Sin is the transgression of the law. And that's what God has said. The way He wants it. 1 John chapter 2 and 3, right? He says here, turn, O backsliding children, verse number 14. saith the Lord, for I am married unto you, and I will take you of one city, take you one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion. Acknowledge thine iniquity, as it says in verse 13, that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God. Turn over to Psalms 49. Why is the death of one of the Lord's saints precious in his sight? Because there's great value. There's great value of the soul. The Lord has been cunning. His greatness and his power has been manifested in the creation of mankind. That is, God is the great three in one. That trichotomy of God is there in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit of God. So mankind has been made in body, soul, and spirit. It's the glory of God extended to us. It's not that way with the leopards, folks. Right. It's not that way with the giraffe. It's not that way with the cow or the spider or the snake or any other creature. Right. I don't know how it is exactly with the angels, but it's not that way with the angels. There's no redemption for them. Even though they are similar in the way that they are, they look like men. And understand that angels are never manifested in the Scripture as feminine.
Right.
And I understand that they don't have long hair. They don't have wings. There are the cherub that covers and such as that there on the Ark of the Mercy Seat. But the angels that were there with the Lord when He came and manifested Himself unto Abraham heading towards Sodom and Gomorrah, they weren't there with wings. They looked like men. So don't buy off into that stuff. But the way in the case of men and angel or of angels is similar, but we have been made body, soul, and spirit, and that is the blessing and touch of the Lord upon us. Look here in Psalms 49, verse number 6. But they that trust in their riches, Psalm 49, verse 6, they that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother. It doesn't matter how big a pile of money a man has. You can't buy, you can't redeem, you can't save your brother. The wealth that any man or woman has on this earth, they have it because God has allowed them to have it or given it to them. Because it was here before they got here, and it'll be here when they leave. They have maybe some control over it for a period of time. But God isn't moved by that. What's it go on and say? It says, they that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. I want to skip verse 8 for now. That he should still live forever and not see corruption. Your money, no matter the money of the world, can't purchase one soul from God. That one wouldn't die and waste away and the soul going to hell and ultimately the lake of fire forever. I'm talking about ultimate corruption, ultimate death, the second death. There's not all the money in the world can't buy it. What's it say there in verse 8? For the redemption of their soul is precious. And you got to have a redemption that'll work forever. Not for a little bit of time. Not for a reprieve from the condemnation of sin for a couple months, a few years, a few decades. No, the redemption that's needed for the soul must be eternal.
Amen.
It must be eternal. Why? Because the condemnation of sin that's upon that soul is very, very great. And then because of the value of the soul, because it's made to live for eternal, must have an eternal redemption. And the money of this world won't cover it. What's going to happen to everything physical in this world? It's going to burn up, isn't it?
Right.
Yeah. It won't work. Because he says here, the Lord says, the redemption of their soul is precious. Why? Because the soul, the creation of the soul, is precious under the Lord. The Lord has made the soul of man and mankind, and having that soul, body, soul, and spirit, that creation is very special before God. He's put great work into us. He has. Oh, what a wonder that the Lord can create life like this. And I know about our sin. I know our sin and all the problem about our sin. But just in the creation of life itself. See, isn't that the way Satan and the world works? To take life of mankind and devalue it? See that? Isn't that what the world does? In abortion, in euthanasia, in the medical practices that seem to be coming down the line, where men will decide whether the value of a life is worthy of the medical care that they need. That's blasphemy before God. It's wickedness. Why is the death of one of the Lord's saints precious in His sight? Because of the value of the soul. Number two, why is the death of one of the Lord's saints precious in His sight? Number two, it's because of the release from sin and all of its effects. The Lord looks on at us and He uses us and He works in us. But He knows that we have this wrestle and this struggle with sin. And in death, in the death of this body, we are released from that. See, the Lord is there. The Lord had His temptation during the time of being on this earth and coming as a man. And He accomplished all those things. And He's there with the Father and enjoying that fellowship that He had from before the foundation of the world. And He's there. And you know what? He's looking forward to us, His children, His saints, to enjoy that with Him. To not be tempted and tried. To not be hurt by sin anymore. Look at Romans chapter 7. The Apostle Paul says it well here in the great conflict that is within him and the great struggle and wrestling that he has within him. The old man and the new man fighting against one another, and they're at enmity one with the other. He says in verse number 24 of Romans 7, "O wretched man that I am." Listen to what he says. "Who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" My body is killing me. It's dragging me down. I want to do well before the Lord. I want to serve the Lord. I want to be whole unto the Lord. I want to obey the Lord. I want to be obedient completely to Him. But this old man is dragging me down. He's dragging me down. He's dragging me down physically. You know, I get tired more than I used to. And you that are older, you get tired even more than you used to, don't you? You say, "Look out, Brother Jim, you ain't seen nothing yet." We want to do. We want to perform. I want to think. Sometimes I just can't think. I'm tempted. Tempted to sin. Tempted to deny my Lord. Tempted in all those things. Tempted to not want to believe the Scripture, not believe the Lord. We're tempted. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me? Oh, the death of the Lord's saints is precious because they're delivered. What's that next verse say? I thank God, right? Verse number 25, get caught up with here. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. What? That's the answer to the question. Look at it again. Oh, wretched man that I am, a declaration. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? The question, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's how we'll be delivered. Through Jesus. Oh, and the Lord brings us to death. And this old body dies. It's precious in the sight of the Lord because we're released from that bondage of sin in the weight and the capture and the bondage that we have in this flesh. In 1 John chapter 3, take a look over here. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, verse number 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. 1 John 3, verse 1, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. Why is the death of one of the saints, the Lord's saints, precious in His sight? Because the hold and the grasp of the body that we're no longer subject to. We're on our way more. At death, we're on our way more to being like Him. Being like Him. Physically. More on our way to be like Him. He says, we know when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in Him purifieth himself presently, even as He is pure. Why is the death of one of the Lord's saints precious in His sight? Because of the release of sin and all of its effects. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, along with this that we read here in 1 John 3, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, just to reinforce the change that will be. It says here, but we know that when He shall appear, what's that mean? When you see Him, when are you going to see the Lord? Physically. When will you see the Lord? When you die and go on to be with Him? Or when He comes in the clouds for us, He will appear unto us. You hear what I'm saying? He may appear unto us in death. And we'll see Him. And when we do see Him, when you see Him with the eyes, we'll be like Him. When He comes in the clouds and we see Him in the clouds, when we see Him, we'll be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. He says here, it says here in 1 John 3, verse 2, He says, it doth not appear what we shall be. Well, we know that when we shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. When we see Him as He is, we will be like Him, whether in death or at the rapture. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 21, listen to what the Scripture says. For He, that is the Father, hath made Him, that is Jesus Christ, to be sin for us who knew no sin. He knew no sin. He knows no sin. And brothers and sisters in Christ, at death, being made like Him, we will know no sin.
Amen.
Oh, isn't that good? Isn't that good? Oh, it's wonderful, isn't it? Why is the death of one of the Lord's saints precious in His sight? Because of the value of the soul and the soul being rescued and given eternal life. Because of the release from sin and all of its effects. We'll no longer know sin. Won't that be great?
Amen.
Won't it be great to not even have a knowledge of any kind of sin? That it would not be up here running around in our minds and in our hearts, tempting us and trying us and that. But during the time of the millennial reign, even though men, women, boys and girls will be here despising God and hating the Lord Jesus Christ's reign, we will be impervious to sin, not tempted in any way.
Amen.
Oh, what a glorious, glorious thing. And then thirdly, why is the death of one of the Lord's saints precious in His sight? Because of His child coming home to be with Him. Because of His child not being separated from Him physically in the world. And we know the Lord is here with us. His Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, is in us. The Father has put the Spirit of His Son in us, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, right? Scripture says that. But we're not physically around the Lord Jesus Christ, are we? He's here with us spiritually, but we don't see Him. We don't hold His hand. We don't visit with Him physically like we do one with another. But there will be in that death, there's that coming of that child home to be with Him. Remember what it says in John 14. Take a look at John 14, verse number 1. Let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. John 14, verse 2, I go to prepare a place for you. Verse 3, and if I go to prepare and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Listen to what He says. This is the blessing of it. Not about the place, not about the mansions, not about the preparation, although it's a blessing. But this is the greatest part of this promise. That receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. To be physically around our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Why is it the death of one of the Lord's saints precious in His sight, that the child is released from sin and brought to be home with Him? In Luke chapter 23, verse 43, Jesus said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with Me in paradise. The place was good, but who He promised the thief that He would be with was the best. Amen? With Me. The thief said, Lord, remember Me. And the Lord say, you'll be with me today. You'll be with me today. Because his child is coming home to be with him. In John chapter 17, we're close. Take a look over here. As the Lord prays, this being the Lord's Prayer in John chapter 17, there before he goes to the cross of Calvary, in verse number 24, the Lord says, Father, John 17, 24, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. isn't it something that the Lord's desire is for us, his children, to be with him? What other famous person cares about us? But the greatest that has ever been and wherever will be cares about me, cares about you. And he desires that we be with him. Why is that death precious? Because we're going to be with him. He has a longing for it. He says here, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. And we're going to go to be there, and we're going to enjoy it, where we're going to rejoice in the blessing, the love and grace and mercy of the Lord toward us, and behold the Lord's glory, and as his glory is revealed and released and shown and manifested, we're going to say, praise the Lord! Praise the Lamb! I'm not going to be jealous about it.
Amen.
We're going to enjoy it. We've been made a part of it.
Amen.
There's our joint heir.
Amen.
Our brother. Our greatest friend.
Amen.
Our Savior and our God. Amen. Oh, why is that death precious? Because the child of God going to be with the Lord. Acts 7. Acts chapter 7, verse number 54. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart at Stephen's preaching, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. Oh, they were angry. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Jesus stood up from the throne to receive his saint home to be with him. Is it not precious? My child is coming home. He's given his life for my sake. I've blessed him. I've touched him. I've made him my own. He stood for me. And now, because of his stand for my word, he's coming home. I'm bringing him home to be with me. And the Lord stands to receive his saint. Not because of what Stephen has done for himself, but because of the great love set upon Stephen by his Lord.
Amen.
And he's saved him, and he's touched him, and he's worked in him, he's believed, he's brought him. It's precious. It's precious. The Lord's not just up there having a good time saying and goofing off and playing games and all that, and bell goes off and another, well, there's another one in. No, that's not the attitude of our Lord. And you know what? He could do anything else that he could want, would ever want to do. But he takes great interest in this. Isn't that a wonder? Isn't that a blessing? Oh, if that doesn't encourage us, I don't know what will. And he says, I see the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Verse 37, when they cried out, then they cried out with a louder voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Well, see, that's what death is in the sight of the Lord. It's sleep. It's sleep. It's sleep for the saints. It's death if you're without Jesus Christ as Savior. But for the Lord, for his children, it's sleep. Oh, blessed sleep that releases. And the child of God comes home. Why is it that the death of one of the Lord's saints is precious in his sight? Because of the value of the soul. Number two, because of the release from sin and all of its effects. Number three, because of the child is coming home to be with the Lord. And number four, because death is swallowed up in victory. 1 Corinthians 15, the great gospel and resurrection chapter that tells us about these things. And look what it says here in verse number 51. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51. The Scripture says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." Okay? Not all will die, but all will be changed. "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." Okay? It's talking about the rapture, isn't it? "For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." It's got to be with the children and the saints of the Lord. "So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and when this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory."
Amen.
Oh, what great power of the Lord, that dying, a thing that we naturally fear, is victory in Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Death is what power, what ability, what great wisdom and cunning of God, that physically dying is victory.
Amen.
It's upside down to the human mind. But in the Lord, being saved and being in Him is a totally different economy and different way. The Lord says and tells us in Isaiah, "My ways are above your ways. My thoughts are way above your thoughts. O death, where is thy sting? O grave," verse number 55, "where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." And then he admonishes them that, "Therefore, be steadfast, stand strong in Christ." But the reason that the death of the Lord's saints is precious in His sight is because death is swallowed up in victory. Victory in Jesus. Oh, what power and glory that in dying we have the victory in Christ. Number five, the reason and that the death of the Lord's saints is precious in His sight. And I think this is the greatest reason. It's because they have been bought. We have been bought and redeemed with a precious price. With a precious price. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 19. The Scripture says here, verse number 18, let's back up. "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but rather redeemed with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot."
Amen.
Why? Before God Almighty, the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, the great three in one, why is the death of the saints precious in His sight? Because the saint, the child of God that has been saved, it represents the great price that was paid for their redemption. It's precious because something precious has been put in to that soul. His own Son. His own Son, the Son of God. And it says, we read here in 1 Peter 1:19, the precious blood of Christ. It goes on and says in chapter 2 and verse number 1, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as into a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious." The Lord Jesus Christ is precious. And God gave His precious Son for His people. And they, by virtue of the giving of His precious Son, we that have been saved, are made precious indeed to the Lord. Our salvation represents a great and wondrous precious thing to the Lord. It's been a great price that has been paid to redeem us. It goes on to say here, verse 5, "Ye also as lively stones are built up in a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Again, the preciousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. Is he not? What would you trade for Jesus, your Savior? There's nothing. Nothing. Nothing in the world, nothing in the universe, nothing that we've ever known or haven't known would compare to our Savior.
Amen.
He's precious indeed, isn't he? It's by him that I have forgiveness and life. What greater is there than the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior? He says here, elect and precious, verse 6, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded, not ashamed, not confused, not sidetracked, but all of it based and focused upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which are disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made head of the corner. A stone of stumbling, a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedience, wherefore unto also they were appointed. The Lord Jesus Christ is not precious to those that are not saved. But he's precious indeed to the we that are saved. He's precious to God the Father who gave him on our behalf. And we are made precious in his sight because we've been bought and redeemed with this great precious prize. Why is the death of one of the Lord's saints precious in his sight? Because of the value of the soul. Number two, because of the release from sin and all of its effects. Number three, because his child is coming home to be with him. Number four, because death is swallowed up in victory. Number five, because they have been bought and redeemed with a precious price, the precious price of the Lord Jesus Christ. What about you that are here this morning and not saved? What about the unrepentant sinner? In Ezekiel chapter 18, let's turn over there. Let's see what the scripture says. In Ezekiel chapter 18, the chapter here that just reckons with the soul and with sin. Look here in verse number 4. Behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also is the soul of the Son is mine. You're here this morning. You're living. You belong to God. Your soul is his. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. And that's the way it is, bottom line. We've all sinned. We're all guilty. We're all condemned. And without forgiveness of your sins through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, without repentance and faith in him and salvation by the Lord Jesus Christ, you will die. And you will die physically. And you will die spiritually, that second death in the lake of fire forever. Look how it says about the death of this man in Luke chapter 16. If you're here and you're not saved, don't blow off the message that's being done yet. In Luke chapter 16, listen how it is here. Look at this contrast that's here. In Luke 16, two men are declared here. And it says in verse number 22, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels. Because the death of that saint was precious in the sight of the Lord. The Lord sent angels to carry Lazarus home to be with him. And the Lord stood up there at his throne to receive him. In Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died. Look what it says about him. And was buried. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes. Pretty unceremonious, huh? Because that man died without the Lord as a Savior. His death was not precious to anyone. But he died. They buried his body, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. Oh, we point you to Christ, and we pray that you'll receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Receive him on his terms, his gospel, his way, his salvation through Him and Him alone. Nothing that you can do. But it might be reckoned with you when it comes time for you to die. That having the Lord as Savior, the Lord having saved your soul, that your death would be precious in His sight. That you enjoy forgiveness of sins and everlasting life. Sweet fellowship and communion and living with your God and Savior forever. A change in this life. That you might have that peace in knowing that your sins are forgiven and your life eternally is secure in Christ. Amen. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints.